Kuno Massey saw the Indian a quarter second before the arrow careen toward him from a snag of brush and sun-bleached rocks. The arrow traversed the 30 yards so quickly that Kuno had no time to do anything as the feathered projectile seared a shallow trough along his left cheek. He'd been holding his cocked Winchester across his saddle bows. Now he raised the gun and took aim at the Indian. Another arrow whooshed past Kuno's ear to slice into the orange sand and gravel near the paint's right rear hoof. Renegade bucked. Kuno reached for the saddle horn, missed it, and holding his Winchester in his right hand, flew back over the paint's lurching hip. As he hit the ground, an arrow clipped his right calf in a searing burn. He rolled off his shoulder and swung his rifle toward the first Indian. Amidst the chipping rocks and powder smoke, the Indian's painted face disappeared. Levering another round, Kuno wheeled. The Indian behind him was running straight at him, notching another arrow. Kuno took aim with his Winchester. As the body hit the ground, Kuno wheeled to his right. Beyond the near rocks and cedars, clay-colored dust rose in the waning afternoon sunlight. Kuno levered a fresh shell into the Winchester's breech and bounded toward the oncoming rider. He ran 30 yards and stopped. A long-haired horseback rider in calico and deer hide appeared above the cedars and willows. The brave, clad in a wolf head cape, a medicine pouch dangling down his chest, aimed an old Springfield rifle straight out from his left shoulder. Seeing that he missed his target, the Indian reined his big Appaloosa toward Kuno, intending to run him down. Heart thudding, Kuno held his ground. He snapped his Winchester to his shoulder and drew a bead on the Indian's chest, just above the big stallion's bobbing, wide-eyed head and buffeting mane. The horse was 10 feet in front of Kuno when he drilled a quarter-sized hole through the brave's breastbone. The ute flipped straight back off the horse's rump, disappearing into the dust and cedars behind the horse's flying hooves. At the same time, Kuno leapt off his boot heels, pivoting and diving left. Reins trailing from the braided halter, the stallion disappeared behind a cabin-sized lump of black lava rock. Kuno looked in the direction the last brave had fallen. He saw only an indistinct hump in the brush, unmoving. He rolled onto a hip and climbed to a knee, the movement of his foot oddly restricted, though in all the excitement he hadn't noticed it before. A blue ashwood arrow trailed from his right deerskin legging, the strap iron head touched with blood. Kuno reached down, worked the arrow out of the cuff, it had gone through two layers of deerskin, then snapped it in half and tossed it into the brush. Now he could feel the strangely chill blood dribbling down his calf, but the ache was only slightly worse than that of a deerfly bite. Holding his right arm stiffly against his side, he heaved himself to his feet and swung the arm up beside him, balling his cheeks as the ache in his shoulder bit him. The shoulder didn't seem broken or separated, a bad bruise. He'd live. He picked up his rifle, dusted it off, and thumbing cartridges from his shell belt into the Winchester's loading gate, tramped slowly back to the scene of the ambush. He'd ridden up here, away from the freight wagons that he and his partner, Serenity Parker, were trailing up from Crowfeather to the base of the Rawhide Range, to scout the movement in the hills that old Serenity had glassed from his wagon seat. They'd spied Indian sign, unshod hoof tracks and the body of a woodcutter pinned to his wagon with arrows and a feathered war lance along the trail from Rawlins 2 days back. The Utes weren't supposed to be making war in this neck of the woods. Why they'd been shadowing the wagons and ambushed him up here, he had no idea. But something cold had dropped deep inside him, and he had a bad feeling the last 20 miles to the Trent Ranch headquarters at the southwestern base of the Rawhide Range wasn't going to be half as smooth as the first 150. At the edge of the slight clearing in the rocks, he stopped. The Indian he'd clubbed had disappeared. He saw the two round indentations in the sand where the brave had dropped to his knees. Scuff marks and blood drops led off between two large boulders at the edge of the clearing. Slowly, licking his chapped lips and holding the cocked Winchester straight out from his right hip, Kuno followed the trail. He pushed through the thick cedars, meandered around the buckbrush and sage, raking his gaze from left to right before him. That's when Kuno heard what he feared would happen.
The wagons!